Well, hello, and welcome to another edition of the E-Commerce Evolution Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Curry, CEO of OMG Commerce. And today, I'm not the only one from OMG Commerce on the show today. This is the OMG Experts series, and we're talking about landing pages today and product detail pages, and I could not be more excited. This is going to be practical and helpful and strategic. And hopefully a lot of fun as well. So I have with me right now on the show two legends from OMG Commerce. These guys are seasoned veterans in the e-commerce space, marketing space, ad agency space. First up is Mr. Bill Covert. Bill and I go way back. He's been at OMG for 7 years, which is a long time in internet years, but he's been in e-commerce for, I think, going on 13 years, Bill, and prior to that was in the ad agency world. So Bill, welcome to the show.
I think Thank you.
What, like your third, fourth time on the show?
Yeah, it's at least third. Yeah, we'll go with fourth, actually. That sounds
go with
better.
Fourth, yeah. I think it's at least fourth and more to come, so excited about that. And then also a return guest on the show, we got Matt, the Playmaker, Slaymaker. What's up, Matt Slaymaker? How are you doing?
What's up? Doing good.
Good. So Matt is one of our lead Google specialists and strategists, and he's been with us for 3 years, been doing marketing for seven. He is a pro with all things Google Ads, but he's done more than that, too. He's worked on Facebook ads and a number of other things, and he just gets marketing and gets growth for D2C brands. And same for Bill. So Bill is a strategist. We pull him in as we're consulting with new clients and then ongoing clients. Bill's always looking for opportunities to grow, to improve, to help clients reach their goals. And so today we're talking about something that I think all three of us are quite passionate about, and that is landing pages, good landing pages. So let's kind of set up this way, gentlemen. Why should we focus on landing pages? Why is it so important that we get this right? And I'll let you go first, Bill.
All right, great. Yeah, thanks for having me. So when it comes to landing pages, the reason why, and I think we're going to unpack this a little bit probably as we get in here, but I would say transition, brand experience, and customer education. And as I was thinking about this coming into today's podcast, I was thinking about Steve Krug's book. It's an old one, an oldie but a goodie, called Don't Make Me Think, which I think is self-explanatory. Yeah. And so when you get to a site, the goal for you as a brand in connection to your customer is don't make them think. Don't make them sit there and decide. Tell them where to go, what to do, orient them, who you are, what are the best sellers, what are the most popular. And so a well-structured landing page does that for you and for your brand.
I love that. And my buddy Kurt Elster, so shout out to the unofficial Shopify podcast and the dynamic host Kurt Elster. He and his partner and their business EtherCycle, they talk about picturing their customer as a drunk guy on the couch late at night, like surfing the web. And so it's maybe a little bit of an over-exaggeration, but if you think about it that way, like, hey, could someone who is intoxicated and a little bit sleepy navigate your website? If so, then that's probably simple enough because, yeah, I totally agree. You don't want to make people think, or you don't want to make things complex because people will just bail, they'll bounce, and no shot of converting if it's confusing, for sure. So Matt, what about you, man? How would you lay that out? What's the reason? Why should we focus on creating great landing pages?
Well, first of all, I just want to say it's super important, like you said, to tap into that drunken and sleepy audience. They are a big buyer segment, so you got to make sure we're appealing to them.
Yeah. Don't forget the drunk segment of your audience sitting on the couch. They're buyers
because they're
ready to buy. They're not thinking about price, really. They're ready to pull out that wallet and purchase if they can find their way.
To me, I think landing pages are so important because, I mean, this is where obviously the sale happens, and this is where you make your first impression. As it says in the name, a landing page is where somebody lands on your website. So if this is the first time somebody's ever heard of you, you've got to make a really good first impression. So obviously branding is super, super important here. But the other part is this is where we have the opportunity to test things and maximize our conversion rate. So through landing pages, we have the opportunity to tailor our page and the content on that page to the audience that we're targeting, rather than just sending everybody to the homepage that might look the same, product detail pages that are tailored a certain way, having a landing page where we can customize it to a particular audience is super powerful and important.
Yeah, I love it. And I think we'll share some tips as we go. A few, you know, maybe a few product detail page tips and a few homepage tips and, of course, landing page tips. Because sometimes we do send traffic directly to a product detail page or directly to the homepage, wherever the case may be. But I love the analogy when we're thinking about a landing page or where someone shows up on your site and thinking about that just like an in-store experience. And Matt, you and I talked about this. Actually, all three of us talked about this before we hit record. That if we think about that in-store experience, when someone first walks into the door of a brick-and-mortar store, what is that experience like? Do they immediately know where to go? Do they have confidence that if they have a question, someone is going to be there to answer it? Do they feel like, hey, based on the mood, the lighting, the vibe that I'm getting, the products that I'm seeing, am I in the right place? Is this for me or is this not for me? And I'll use a bit of an example. I used to do a lot of local advertising. And so you can imagine, you know, you've always got the local car dealer who's like, hey, we're home with a fair and honest deal, right? And so then you're like, hey, maybe if you're naive, you're like, hey, maybe this is a fair and honest car dealer. So you show up at the car dealership and you're like, wait a minute, I think this is like every other car dealership. Guy with slicked back hairs walking out the door, khakis, fake smile, sticking his hand out. I stick my left hand, I'm not sure why. But sticking his hand out, at, you know, shake your hand, you're like, I got to get out of here. This is not the right place, right? Or another example, when I was in college, I worked at Lowe's, the Home Improvement Center, and we were like one of the top-rated Lowe's in the nation. We had a lot of pride in that. And there's another big box home improvement store that I actually don't think is bad at all, but the location here is not very good in our hometown. And there's always a difference to me. If I go into our local Lowe's, like there's three or four people ready to help me in the different departments, whether it's plumbing or lumber, like you've got a pro there handy that'll talk to you. In this other box store, you can walk the aisles and like there's nobody there to help. You never get your question answered. You're not going to find what you want. And so thinking about that experience, I spend a lot of money at Lowe's. I don't ever go to this other store because of that in-store experience. And maybe the ads are just as good, or maybe the ads are even better at that other big box store. But I go to Lowe's because of the experience in the store. And I think there's so many applications we can tie in there. What are your thoughts though, guys? When you look at, you know, landing page and comparing that to an in-store experience, any other insights or thoughts you'd share there?
An example I'd give you is that's how I feel about Chick-fil-A. So anytime I go to Chick-fil-A, it's that branding experience and the experience that I get from those customer service people, the sales representatives, or anytime you say thank you, they're always saying my pleasure. They've always got a smile on their face. And they create this super positive experience that makes you want to come back again and again. It's more than just the chicken that is the reason I'm going there. It's because of the overall experience that I get when I go there. And you can't say that about every fast food company.
Totally. And then the chicken is arguably the best as far as like fast food, in my opinion. But you're 100% correct. It's, you know, I can't remember a single time. And I've been to a lot of Chick-fil-A's. I've spent a lot of money at Chick-fil-A. I've got a family with 8 kids. And so we frequent Chick-fil-A. I can't remember going to a Chick-fil-A and experiencing a grumpy employee. I can't remember it. Maybe it's happened, but it hasn't stuck out. It's overwhelmingly positive. It's overwhelmingly fast. If you get anything wrong, they fix it. They're happy. They're saying my pleasure all the time. It's over the top, man, and it's fantastic. And that's why you can go to any Chick-fil-A anywhere in the country at like 2 p.m. after the lunch rush, and you're still probably going to be a long line. You won't have to wait very long because they're efficient. But there's probably a line. So
yeah, and just thinking about that sales rep example, we have a local water sports store where I buy wakeboards, and there's lots of different kinds of wakeboards and lots of different kinds of bindings. And I'm a bigger guy. I've got a wider stance and things like that. And there's, you know, specific ones for park, or there's specific ones for behind the boat. Slaymaker's familiar too with these concepts.
And just for the uneducated, park is like the water park, like
yeah,
the
where you've got ramps and stuff. Yeah, because you don't want fins on that one.
Totally.
Right? And it's got to stand up to a few more riggers maybe. So you go in, and even if you've been wakeboarding, if it's your first time buying, you know nothing. And so going in, you're like, okay, these things are running like $500 with the total package, bindings and the board and all this stuff. And then you got to buy a life jacket and a helmet. I mean, you're spending hundreds of dollars. And it's like, how can I get something that's entry level that I'm not going to, you know, spend too much on, but it's going to stand up to what I need it to. And you need a sales rep to help you with that. So is your landing page that sales rep? Or I think of like, if you're going to a running shoe store or something like that, you might be running on pavement. You might be running on trails. Who knows? I mean, it might be for something else, distance versus sprints. These all require different products
and you don't want to buy the most expensive. I think we all kind of want to get like, what's the bottom of the top tier?
Yeah.
Somewhere in
what's
there.
The maximum value, right? How can I get the best for the amount that I'm comfortable spending?
Yeah.
Maximize value. 100%. And one thing that I think, and I want to talk about advertising in a minute, how that ties into landing pages. But one other thing that I think is often overlooked in the space of e-commerce is word of mouth and referrals. And this is something that as we dig in with clients, more sophisticated clients, especially those that are using post-purchase surveys like KnoCommerce and others, they start to get a lot of feedback saying, hey, someone referred me, right? My friend or family or whoever, and that's why I'm here. But you got to think about if that in-store experience, or in this case, the on-site experience, the landing page, the homepage, product detail page, if that's not stellar, people are going to be way less likely to make that referral. And I remember back when I was doing a lot of local advertising, I worked with this local printer, and they were the cheapest. They were pretty fast, but they were actually quite grumpy, and they were difficult to work with. There's just like some difficulty, you know, in working with them, but they were always the lowest price. So I always used them, but I never referred to them because I was like, you probably won't have a good experience. You'll probably be grumpy at the end of your day if you go with this company, but I use them because I'm cheap and I'm feeling cheap right now. So there's one of those things where if you think about the landing page, yes, it helps with ads and there's a big benefit there, but your landing pages also can increase or decrease or kill word of mouth. And I think that's really important to underscore here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, cool. I'm a bit of a marketing nerd, obviously, so I share this stuff with people who don't care. But there will be times where I see a really cool product that has just a beautiful landing page. And I'm like, look how cool this is. This product, it looks so awesome. And it's not even because of the product itself. It's because of how they demonstrated what the product is and the benefits, how they communicated this. And we'll take a
totally.
Look at examples there.
Yeah, and we're a little more like that because we're in the marketing field. We're a little more prone to share those pages. But it does happen more with anybody, right? They're more likely to share a page, more likely to refer if it's a great experience. If it's beautiful, if the message is clear, if it all works, they're more likely to refer. So love that. Let's talk about the relationship between advertising and landing page because, you know, we run a lot of traffic, gentlemen. We spend millions and millions a month on YouTube and Google and Amazon ads. And people come to us wanting us to help them generate more customers and develop new customers. And typically, the focus is on better ads, better targeting, better campaigns, all of those things, which are super important. But how would you talk about that relationship? Because something that is often overlooked is how are your landing pages performing? So how would you talk about the relationship between ads and lander and how you look at them?
Yeah, sure. So the way I look at it is the ad's job, and as a digital marketer, my job is to find a relevant audience, relevant keywords, and to qualify them so I can find a relevant audience or, you know, maybe some percent of that audience that I think is relevant. Maybe there isn't purchase intent, something like that. The ad's job is to then qualify that person and to have them go, okay, yeah, that's me. That's what I want. I want that now. And to have them click. Whereas the landing page's job is then to transition them and to up that conversion rate to drive the sale and to orient them from that ad click.
Love that. Yeah, would you add anything to that, Matt?
Yeah, no, to put it simply, I think the goal of the ad is to reach the right people at the right time with a message and an image that compels them to want to learn more about your brand or your product. So the goal with the ad really is just to spark that initial interest, reach people who are already interested maybe in looking for this kind of stuff, or like Bill said, maybe they're not even looking for this kind of stuff yet, and we get in front of them at that stage. And then the goal of the landing page is to move them further and to drive that actual consideration and intent. And maybe that's not always somebody actually buying something. A good landing page isn't looking just for the sale. There might be other opportunities, whether it's a lead generation opportunity where people aren't ready to buy just yet, but you can provide your email address for 20% off later on, or join a wait list for an ultimate purchase later. And then even for those people who aren't willing or ready to give that kind of stuff yet, leaving such a positive brand impression that they want to come back later on. So I think that's what the landing page's job is ultimately in the end.
Love it. Totally agree. I think another way to say it is the job of the ad is to get the right person to click, right? To get attention, to get the right prospect to stop and pay attention, and then to get them to say maybe, right? Maybe this is the product for me. Maybe I want to take it a step further. And so they click. And then once they get to the landing page, it's the landing page's job to do everything else, to convince,
to get that email sign up, to get someone to add to cart, to get someone to purchase. That's the job of the landing page. The job of the ad is to get the right person to say maybe. And hopefully they come in predisposed and pretty excited and ready for your message on the landing page. But the art of closing really happens on the landing page. And so I think that that's super important to underscore and to emphasize in this case. And so I want to give an example, and I'm curious if you guys have examples too, of how this can play out. So I was working with a longtime client of ours. They sell a derma roller. So it's one of those micro needling rollers, and it's got some product in it and very effective at helping reduce wrinkles and just in improving the overall glow and look of the skin. And we were running some YouTube ads, and the YouTube ads were getting great engagement. So people watching the videos, people clicking on the videos, way above average on all of those metrics. But the ads weren't performing. We were not hitting their cost per acquisition target. It just wasn't working. And so we paused for a bit, and the client was like, hey, I want to get to work on this landing page, because they actually understood landing pages really well. And they were like, hey, I'm going to rework this page. So they reworked the page, and that totally changed the dynamics of the campaign. So we found a lot of people would look at that and say, well, we got to run better ads, right? Got to run better ads, got to get better targeting, got to get better. But in this case, it was the job of the landing page. And sometimes you can identify that when view rates are good, click-through rates are good, and then conversion rates are bad. That's probably the landing page not doing its job. And so that's where you potentially need to focus. So any other examples, gentlemen, any other thoughts there on when we've identified that it was the landing page and not the ad that was the problem?
Playing off your example real quick, just thinking of a derma roller, you know, I don't know what that is just because I'm in the industry. I would have no concept of it other than I've worked on brands who sell these. And so
are you trying to hide the fact that you use derma rollers?
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. You just exposed me there. I'm huge into it. I got a whole derma roller collection.
Yeah.
So
what's your favorite brand of derma roller?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. See, gotcha. Okay.
Sorted by color. So, I think, when we're in our own industry, right, we're so jaded, we're exposed to all the ways this works. We believe in it. We're already sold. What percentage of people got to that landing page and went, do derma rollers really work? And it's like, okay, you might have the best one in the world, but what percentage of people don't even know that this category is a good idea? And are you answering those questions on your landing page, or are they going to go to Google and ask? Because once they go to Google and ask, your competitors are waiting. So
totally.
You just grew the category for your competitors.
Excellent point. Yeah. Someone, your ad made you a beautiful job of getting attention and getting someone to click and maybe be curious. But if the landing page doesn't do its job, all you're doing is sending that prospect to go shop your competitor and to do another search and to end up somewhere else. So you're growing the category, not growing your own business, which is not the way to succeed in marketing. So what about you, Matt? Any examples or thoughts on how this plays out, this role of ad and lander?
Yeah, 100%. I think you can have all the right targeting set up and beautiful ads, but if you're directing them to a page that doesn't clearly demonstrate what the value of that product is, what the differentiators are, why you should take action right now, then I don't think it's really going to matter. You're not going to see good results from that ad and from that good targeting. So an example is we have a supplements company, and previously their landing pages were really poor. They were essentially just product pages where the details were very minimal. So the differentiators really weren't there. Essentially all that they had were a couple lines of what the product was, so some features that came along with it, and then reviews. So from there, it was pretty empty. They updated one of these with the goal of this being something that they could use for a YouTube video where it focuses on one particular supplement. And they added a lot of content below the fold, which was essentially talking about all the benefit, what the problem is, so why you really need a probiotic supplement, what the war inside your gut looks like, why you might be suffering from this. Then they told the story of their brand below that too. We set out to do blank. We're different because of blank. Most probiotics fail because they don't have enough blank. And then they littered throughout that their social proof of testimonials, real stories from people. And we A-B tested that, not just for the YouTube videos, but for their shopping ads as well. What if we sent people who were landing on that original probiotic page to this long-form probiotic page, and we saw double the conversion rates from that long-form page? Because instead of just kind of answering the bare minimum of, here's what it does, it then get expanded upon that and said, here's why this is important, here are the benefits of that, and here's why we're better than everybody else.
I love that so much. I've got a couple of follow-ups there, but I want to ask this question first. Just curious what your take is. Do you guys prefer long-form landing pages or short-form landing pages? What say you?
Yeah, that's a tricky question. I am not a fan of very, very long landing pages, ridiculously long landing pages. I think a little bit, it feels disrespectful, a little bit. No offense to those people out there. You probably know who you are, but, and what I mean is just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling.
You get a lot of hate mail from long form landing page.
Yeah,
people.
I don't think this person that I'm thinking of is offended or even I make
it's
their
be a
radar.
Long email too.
Yeah.
It's going to be really long.
What I prefer when I'm working with a client or a brand is send me something that's too long and it's way easier to whittle it down than it is to make it longer. So I prefer that we start there. So
love that. Matt, thoughts?
In general, I don't think long is necessarily a problem as long as you're not wasting my time. If the most important information is up near the top and there's a call to action up at the top, I can take action right away and I get my answer or the questions that I have answered, then I don't necessarily mind there being additional content below there. So if that quote unquote below the fold content is just additional reviews and testimonials and information about the brand, then I don't necessarily mind it being long, but obviously it's something that you have to test out. And like Bill was saying, it's so much easier to have something that's already long, have too much content and have to trim that down, then have to come up with more content out of thin air.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think the right answer here is the page needs to be as long as it needs to be to convince someone to say yes. And I fully agree with the points you guys were making here that, you know, it needs to be scannable. I think for those that come to your page and they're already convinced or ready, they should have an option to buy quickly. I think, Bill, to your point, if someone's got to scroll through an endless landing page or they're forced to watch a 30-minute video sales letter to be able to add to cart. I know there's some strategic reasons to use that, but I always bounce on those pages. I will 100% of the time always bail there. So, you know, you don't want to make someone scroll all the way to the end of, you know, what's the equivalent of like 6 pages of text before they have the add to cart option. But you also need enough information to be able to convince someone. I love an example. We'll get into a lot more here as we go, but Room Dividers Now. A former client and friend, but they sell room dividers for apartment complexes and workspaces and things like that. But this is often the first time someone has ever bought a room divider when they go to this site, and it's kind of confusing and new and like, what size do I buy and will I be able to install this? Do I need to be a builder? Like, what is this? Their pages are amazing in terms of showing pictures, diagrams, measurements, quick videos that show you how to choose the right one, how to install it. And this would be overboard for something, you know, simple like a phone case or something like that, right? I don't need a lot of diagrams for a phone case, but a room divider, never bought one. I'm a little bit intimidated, so give me the details, but make it easy to scan because that's how people consume pages. They scan and then they look for details that they may deep dive into that interest them. And so page needs to be as long as it needs to be to close the sale.
And in talking about scannable content, I think that's where visuals are so important. Yeah. They always say a picture paints 1,000 words. It says 1,000 words. But you can just visually digest information through a picture much more than you can through a paragraph, right? And I've seen that there's studies that show that people actually remember about 10% of what they hear, 20% of what they read, and 80% of what they see and do. So that's where, you were saying, Brett, whether it's doing videos through your landing page or visuals, that kind of stuff is so important in terms of making it easily digestible for people.
Yeah, we think and remember in terms of pictures, right? If I say, quick, think of a whale, you don't think W-H-A-L-E, right? You think of a whale, right? If I say beach, you don't think of the letters. You think of the beach and an umbrella and surfing or something like that. So we think in pictures, so we need pictures.
Yeah, you know, my friend Todd, who works with us, he sent me a Neil Patel article last night, and it said that 10%
of the man, shout out to Todd.
Right.
Smart marketer.
It said 10% of people remember sound, but remember audio
learning, 20% remember something in writing, and 80% remember from visual and doing. So video is key, I think.
It really is. And oddly enough, I'm one of the, I love auditory, like I love listening to stories and I love podcasts. That's probably why I'm a podcaster, but that's not the norm, right? People need to see and experience things, and a good landing page does that. I think one last thing, and then I want to get into some very specific tips. We've been sprinkling tips as we go, but I want to get into some specifics. So one additional thing to keep in mind is that people are coming to your landing page with questions, with unresolved objections. They're coming to your landing page with a healthy dose of skepticism and doubt, and you've got to be ready for all of those things, right? I like to talk about the fact that we live in the show me state. Well, Bill and I are Missouri guys. Matt's a Texas guy. Lots of love for Texas as well. But we're the show me state, right? And our state animal is the donkey, right? So you got to show us before we'll believe anything, and apparently we're quite stubborn. But you got to kind of think that way with your landing page. I have to show that these objections are not true. I have to show that this is the right solution for you. I have to overcome all of those hurdles, all that doubt, mistrust, objections that this visitor has, so that they go from a maybe to a yes. So keep that in mind, that people aren't just coming eager and ready to buy with the wallet out, fully convinced. So no, they're coming with doubts and objections, and you got to resolve those. So awesome. Let's dive into specific tips. So lay out some of your best, some of your favorite landing page tips. Who wants to go first?
Is that me?
Sure. Go for it, Matt.
All right. Yeah, great. So obviously it depends on what the goal is for that landing page. Is this a dedicated landing page? Is this a product page, your homepage? Let's talk about like a dedicated landing page. So I'm going to give my top five elements that I think you really need to make sure.
Can you explain what a dedicated landing page would be, Matt, and how we would use this?
Yeah, 100%. So a dedicated landing page is a landing page that's tailored for a specific campaign, for a specific audience. So let's say that you have a top of funnel YouTube campaign where the goal of that is to use your video to reach people who've never heard of your brand before. So instead of sending people to your homepage or your product page, you want to send them to a page that either relates to that video and that audience in some way, but portrays your brand and is focused on the product that you mentioned in that video. So it's tailored not only to the video, but the audience itself.
Awesome. Thank you. So tips for your dedicated landers.
Yeah. So I think the top five elements that you really need to have, and I'll list them all out, then go into a little bit of depth on each of those, is your value proposition, your benefits and features, your branding, your differentiators, your social proof, and a strong call to action / offer. So your value proposition is essentially just what is the point of your product? What is the value that you're going to get out of this? So if you are a company that sells, let's just say that you are a product that helps women grow their hair back. You could just say that we are a shampoo that grows your hair back, or you could put this in the form of a value proposition, which is really answering the what, which is the problem and the solution that they're trying to get to. So essentially regain your confidence with our hair regrowing shampoo, right? So that's the value that they're really getting out of that. I think every dedicated landing page really needs to have that. The second part is benefits and features. So this really goes into the why. So what is the value that the person is getting out of the features that come with it? So if you sell an iPhone and the iPhone has a certain amount of storage space, what's the benefit of that? So the storage space is the feature, but the benefit is now you have more room for pictures and for memories and things like that. You have more apps that you can use, text messages that you can send. The third element
quickly, Matt, so some of the really great examples there, if you think back to old Apple ad campaigns, right, with the original, if we look at the iPod, right? One of the original examples, they didn't talk about the number of megabytes of storage or whatnot, but they were like, 3,000 songs in your pocket, right? And I was like, this is amazing, 3,000 songs in my pocket. Or I love the old campaign. It really, I think, helped launch the iPhone into kind of the stratosphere. There's an app for that, right? So you've got this problem, this thing, there's an app for that, solved, right? And here we'll show you in the ad. And so yeah, really making that value prop come to life. Love that.
Right. Yeah, because in the end, features are really just what leads to the benefit, and the benefit is truly what people are really after. From there, you've got strong branding differentiators. So this answers the who. So who are you and what makes you different from everybody else? If you're in a crowded space, especially things like supplements, for example, where there are hundreds of brands that sell probiotics or brain supplements, things like that, what is the reason that people should trust you amongst everybody else? And then the fourth element, how you can really show that is through your social proof. This elaborates on the credibility aspect of it. Why should people choose you? Provide things like testimonials, reviews, third-party publications. So if you've been mentioned in Forbes, CNN, some of these publications out there, that kind of stuff really helps move the needle in terms of people trusting you. And then the last part of it, once they've digested who you are, what you're selling, and why this is important, having a strong call to action or an offer that actually inspires them not only to take action, but to take action right now. So does your call to action create that sense of urgency? If it doesn't, then people are going to leave and not maybe come back later on. So I think that's the other element you're really going to make sure you have.
That's awesome. And Bill, I want to hear your tips in just a second. But Matt, what are some examples? Because I think we always learn better when we're looking at those who are doing this well. What are examples that we should pay attention to?
In terms of a dedicated landing page that I think does well? Yeah, yep. So there is a company called Fixd out there. So if you go to fixd.com, you'll find this.
F-I-X-D.
Yeah, fixd.com. So these guys, if you pull them up on your mobile phone or computer right now, I think they do all these elements really, really well. At the very top of the page, they have their value proposition that is super clear. It says, meet the car repair sensor that is saving people thousands of dollars. So instead of just saying, it's a car diagnostic tool, which is just what it is, it paints that out in a very clear way. You're saving thousands of dollars. That's the value that you're getting out of this. Then
frame on that, just so people get the idea, like check engine light comes on, you take the Fixd device, plug it into the computer port on your car, and then on your phone, you get a readout of exactly why that check engine light is on, plus how much it should cost to repair it. So it really answers questions for you and helps you not get screwed over later at the mechanic. So yeah, keep going, Matt.
Yeah, and from there, the next thing they jump into is over 2 million Fixd sensors sold. 10,000 plus 5-star reviews. So there's your social proof.
There's
the credibility that they've already created. Then they get into why every driver should own a Fixd sensor. So what it does, so car diagnostics like Brett just mentioned, maintenance alerts, issue severity. So it kind of shows that benefit that you're getting out of this. From there, they go on to explain why they're different from other people, why you should trust them over others. But then what they do really well is they have an offer that is happening pretty much all the time. It says shop Fixd today before this offer times out. And they have this timer that's constantly ticking, but it's 67% off. And so they're always kind of promoting, make sure that you're getting this at the best possible deal. So you get to that page and you have that sense of urgency to go ahead and buy right then and there, which I think they do really, really well.
Love it. Great example. We'll link to that in the show notes, but go check it out for yourself at fixd.com. Bill, what about you? Top landing page tips.
All right, sweet. You bet. So I would love to turn all of these into C's at some point, but I have connect. So how does it change their life? Connect with the customer and where they're at and psychologically understand their pain point and address that and say, look, I get it. This is what you're going through. Here is how we help. I mean, it could be a very simple product. They have a pain point. Content. So I think dream big. Imagine what your brand can be, what your landing page could look like. I think some of the most awesome landing pages are just very visual and give me a great brand impression. And a great brand impression gives me a great product impression. And I want to identify with that product. Brands like that, I think Peloton has like amazing landing pages and they do the connect thing as well. Like if you're living in an apartment in a high rise, it's a big deal to have to get up, go down the elevator and go to the gym in the morning. Whereas you could have a Peloton just in the corner. You could wake up and you can do your whole workout routine with an instructor right there. You don't have to go to the gym. They make that very obvious. Like, here's your pain point. We're the solution. And then call to action. So not just like, certainly tell them what to do. You may think it's obvious, it may not be obvious, but also what are the steps? What are the next steps? One example would be the Goldilocks purple mattress YouTube ads.
Love it.
Next time you see the eggshell test ad, click and look at that landing page and look how it matches the ad. And also watch, they show you what this is like when it arrives at your door. This thing is going to arrive in a box that looks like this. If you don't like it, here's what you do. So it answers all these questions. It walks you through yourself having bought this product vicariously.
It kind of leads you through the process, right? I heard this great marketing analogy one time that people will not go physically where they haven't gone in their mind first or where they haven't imagined themselves going. And I think that's what that page does, right? It shows, hey, this is what it's going to be like when it shows up on your doorstep. And when you open the box, it's going to look like this. Because there's some unknowns, right? There's still some people out there that are like, a mattress shipped to me? Is this going to be like a giant box? Can I get it through my door? Is it
right.
going to be messed up, damaged? Like, that is a hurdle that will keep people from buying. But once they see that, okay, actually the box is not huge, it's all air compressed and then it, you know, puffs out once you open it, then they feel confident and say, okay, yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah. They also took the risk away from the buyer by saying, right. if you're not right. happy, put it back on the porch. You don't have to put it in the box. We'll do that. Just put it back on the porch and call us.
Which I love that too, because that's the other thing, like, and then sometimes why I don't buy things or what gives me hesitation from buying things on Amazon. I know Amazon will take it back. I know I can return it. I don't want to. I've got stuff in my house that like I knew I wasn't going to use, but I'm like, it's like too much work to return this. Yeah. It just sits in my closet or I give it away to somebody, which is fun. But that creates a hesitation. Okay, if I don't want this mattress, you mean I got to compress it and box it up? No, just put it on the porch. We'll take care of it. Love that.
Yeah, exactly. The next tip would be tripwires. I think anyone who's doing a quiz is doing this. So what's something short of a purchase that I can do to segment those who were very interested? And now with GA4, maybe that's just in GA4. Like, okay, they looked at this. They looked at five products that were all the color of red or something, and you can just track that as an event. But if you're doing like a tripwire, like a quiz, then they're serious. They're curious. They didn't bounce. But they just didn't purchase yet. So now we've isolated that group. We can go after that group with better messaging and okay, why didn't you buy? You know, maybe you need a sale, maybe you had an objection or an FAQ or something like that. And then avoid paralysis by analysis. So don't give me one product unless you sell just one product, unless there's one obvious hero product. Give me like three products or maybe some product categories. Guide me. Remember that sales rep, like, hey, what's the most popular? That's where I want to go. Don't make me think, you know, don't give me 30 products. Give me a reasonable amount for what you sell and what your brand is and your category. And okay, I'll figure it out from there.
Yeah. And speaking about like guiding me, I think that's another benefit that comes from the quizzes that you just talked about. So the obvious benefit of the quizzes, obviously, when they go through all the options, they fill out all the questions. At the end, it'll ask for their email address, and that's where you send them the result. So the brand gets the email address and the user gets the result. But the other benefit of that is you're guiding the user to a product that is best for them based on the results that they gave. So I know there's a skincare brand called Curology. That's a huge part of their system. They really just make custom skincare routines. So based on the inputs that you put in, do you have greasy, oily skin? Are you prone to acne? Things like that. What are you looking for? They're going to send you a bundle that is tailored just to you. I've seen this work for supplements companies, hair care companies as well. What are you looking for? What color is your hair? Things like that. And it tailors and guides the user to what is going to be best for them, which obviously helps the brand in terms of getting the user to the product that they're most likely to buy, but also helps the user because it's getting them a product that's most likely to best work for them. So,
yeah, I love that example of quizzes and guiding someone to the right choice. And I think, you know, one of the tips that I would have, and actually I've got four, and they all actually do start with the letter C, Bill. How crazy is that? But one of them is confidence, right? We've got to instill confidence in the shopper before they're going to make a purchase. And I love the example of Madison Reed. And former client, but we help them grow on Google and YouTube. But they are at home hair color. And so they've got this quiz. It's like a personal hair care consultant. And this is a very important thing, right? I've, you know, a lot of ladies in my family that color their hair. And this is not something to take lightly. It's not like, yeah, I'll just try this. If, you know, it turns my hair a weird color, no big deal. You know, some people do want like a crazy color and that's awesome, but they want the color they want, right? And they don't want to get this wrong. And that's why, you know, a lot of people go to the salon and pay hundreds of dollars for the coloring. But at Madison Reed, you can get it for a fraction of the price, but you do it at home. But they've got this color consultant, right? You take the quiz and it's very thorough, but it's still easy to fill out. And at the end, not only are they increasing satisfaction by delivering the right product, but they're giving you confidence in the process to say, ah, I was just asked the right questions, and now I'm confident that what is going to be delivered to me is going to be right. And so then people actually make the purchase. So,
right.
I love that.
Now you've got visibility into that customer group. And this could be a whole nother podcast on segmenting your cohorts. But
yes,
now it's like, okay, so you're male and you have dark hair. Now I know how to talk to you. And so...
Exactly. Yeah. All kinds of segmentation there. If they don't purchase, now you know how to remarket to them. Or if they have their email, now you know how to email them. Yeah, so many benefits there. Another thing, and you really alluded to this, Bill, but I'm gonna kind of clarify maybe just a little bit, but congruent, right? I think the experience needs to be congruent, where if you made a promise or an offer on the video or on the display ad and the display ad that you created, that needs to be front and center on the landing page. If you're talking about a holiday promotion or a Mother's Day promotion, that needs to be clearly visible. If you had a look and a style and a tone in the video, that look and style and tone needs to be on the landing page, because the first thing someone's going to say, just like when they walk in the door of a retail store, is, am I in the right place? And so you got to have that congruent experience between ad and landing page. And then I think that the two other C's that I'll just throw out really quickly is it needs to be convincing, right? It needs to overcome those objections and really handle anything that's lingering or any objections to buy. And it needs to be compelling, right? It needs to promise that benefit, bring all those things to life enough to make someone say, yes, I'm going to purchase. Awesome stuff, guys. This has been amazing. Just a couple of quick things here as we get close to wrapping it up. Where do you usually suggest people start, right? So we run a lot of YouTube traffic, a lot of search traffic, Google Shopping, or now more Performance Max. But where should someone start? Should they start by building dedicated landing pages? Should they start by optimizing their product detail pages? Should they work on their homepage? What advice or what thoughts do you guys have there?
That's a great question. So, yeah, it's kind of like recommending a supplement to someone who doesn't exercise and doesn't
sleep.
What
supplement should I take? Well, tell me what you're trying to do.
You got to do the basics. So if your homepage needs work, I mean, go after that. Go after the product page. Do the lowest hanging fruit.
It's always going to be the most
first.
Visited page, right? It's always going to be the visited page.
Get yourself a video going. A dedicated landing page is like third, fourth, somewhere even further down the list. Like do the basics. But then by that time, you've got enough content and enough to kind of pull from these assets. And it's like, okay, the UGC, the FAQs, the video, the banner header. And I would say also, I come from e-commerce development, and we talk about minimum viable product and working iteratively. I have friends who worked for like 2 years on their store and didn't launch it. And I'm like, why? Oh, there's a misspell over here. I'm like, are you kidding me? Get that thing out there and start generating revenue and iterate as you go. Like just go to ChatGPT and have that thing write your landing page and prop it up. And then start to, that was an exaggeration, like do a little more than that, sorry. But just start to get something out there and then start to plug in your assets and get traffic to it and test and things like that. So work iteratively, but just start with copy, then get some images in there and get a video in there and go from there.
I like it. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with what Bill said. It doesn't have to be absolutely perfect when you launch it. The important thing is that you're just, and the initial stage is starting to collect some data. And like Bill said, you can iterate from there and you can A-B test from there. Maybe you have the original version, but then you spin up a secondary version where you split traffic 50-50 and you see what version does better. Maybe that original version that you thought wasn't as good as this next page is actually performs better than that new page does. So it's always something that you can be testing. But in terms of where to start as it comes to homepage, product pages, dedicated landers, I agree with what Bill said, and like you alluded to, Brett, your homepage is always going to be your most visited page, not just on the ad side most often, but all your organic traffic is tending to go to your homepage. Your direct traffic, when people type in brandname.com, that's usually going to your homepage. So I'd really think you got to start there. From there, I'd make sure your product pages look good, because shopping ads, performance max ads, a lot of this is going to be driving to your product pages. And that's where the bottom of the funnel and middle of funnel traffic really lives. And I like to start from there, establish a firm foundation, and then at that point, develop your dedicated landers where your YouTube top of funnel traffic can send, potentially your remarketing traffic, search traffic can go to those pages as well. But start with the low-hanging fruit, like you guys said.
That's awesome. And so I'll give just a couple examples here of pages that I think you should check out. And then we're going to talk about a free resource that is in development right now. But by the time you listen to this, it'll be available. So Matt talked about dedicated landing pages later. That's the pages you use for top of funnel Facebook or YouTube traffic. Love Boom by Cindy Joseph and their 5 makeup tips for older women. We've sent literally tens of millions of dollars worth of ad traffic to that page, and it's converted. And so it's very simple. Starts with 5 makeup tips for older women, and then has some celebrity social proof and some other social proof, and then great offers. And it's a brilliant page. So we'll link to it. You should definitely check that out.
Actually, I think the celebrity has been removed.
Oh, you're right. The celebrity has been removed, but they did have a celebrity, and I don't, Burper, I can't say it, but there may be a celebrity there, or there was a celebrity there who's very well known.
She was on Friends. She wasn't Lisa Kudrow or Courtney Cox, if that helps.
Yeah. And I may or may not have had a monster crush on her as a teenager when I was watching that show.
Totally places you. I know you're my age.
It does, but I also Monica. I thought all 3 Friends were amazing. So the great dedicated lander, you should definitely check it out. And when it comes to homepage, I'll shout out another one that's owned by Ezra Firestone, Overtone Coloring Conditioner. So if you want your hair pink or blue or green, this is a color depositing conditioner that's temporary. Their landing or their homepage is beautiful. It answers all the questions. It shows the product. It's got social proof. It's got all the elements we really just talked about, which is a great one. And then we're going to link to a bunch more because I know, one, you're potentially driving or working out, and so you can't capture all of these. But let's talk about this free resource, fellas. All 3 of us have been collaborating on this. It's going to be dynamite. But what is our free resource, Bill? You want to kind of plug this real quick?
Yeah, you bet. So we are offering with this podcast a swipe file of our favorite landing pages. So these aren't necessarily ones that we work on, brands that we work on, but just, you know, showcasing anything we've seen over the years on the internet, students of landing pages, great branding, and getting people from I've never heard of you to I want to buy right now. So.
Yeah, and a number of these are clients like that we have worked with them and helped them grow their marketing, but a lot are just people we shop and love and admire and respect. And so anything else you would want to say about this, Matt, plug this resource? I mean, Matt, the playmaker, slaymaker, had a hand in this guide, in this swipe file, so I think people should get it for that reason alone.
Absolutely. No, I think just to go along with what Bill said, it covers every industry and it covers every need. So whether you're looking for product pages, how can you improve your product pages, dedicated landing pages, your homepage, it covers all those. And then depending on your different goals. So if your goal for your campaign is to drive sales, there's landing pages that cover that. If your goal is to drive lead submissions, like the Boom example that Brett was talking about, there's really good examples for that as well. So regardless of what industry you're in, business size, things like that, there's an example for you.
Yeah, so check it out. Request it. You can go to the show notes of this show or also look on the guides page at omgcommerce.com, and you can find the landing page swipe file and guide. And just a closing thought here as we wrap up, you know, I think there's very little that can change the math and change the results of your advertising, of your campaigns, like a landing page. If your conversion rates are not great and, you know, e-commerce standards are in that 1-3% range, you know, typically brands that are really scaling have landing pages that convert a little bit higher than that, but it does depend on a number of factors. If conversion rates are not great, focus on those landing pages. It will pay off in spades. And when you get it all working together, awesome ads, great targeting, great campaigns, and landing pages, then that's when the magic happens. So any closing thoughts, gentlemen?
Sure. Yeah. So one closing thought, make sure to understand, I said at the beginning, your customer's pain point, and understand their skepticism. I think FAQs are kind of a commodity. You know, we think, oh, FAQ, that's just the throwaway thing at the bottom with the accordion, you know, interactivity there. But think about that. Like, people have a reason they almost aren't going to buy from you. I've even seen on a jeans website, after purchase, the question, the post-purchase questionnaire was, why did you almost not buy? And it's like, whoa, that's a
great question.
Yeah,
love that.
That's a bold question, but you're getting these questions through your chat on, you know, your on-site chat. And that's if you're getting these questions, collect them and figure out the common questions and then figure out the answers, because your customers have these questions and that can be just right there on the landing page.
Yeah, I'd say when thinking about the value of landing pages, think of what is the value of improving your conversion rate from 3% to 5%. That could be the difference of $3 million of revenue to $5 million in revenue, right? So the best brands that we work with in terms of success are the ones that are constantly iterating and constantly moving the needle and trying new things in terms of landing pages. So whether it's A/B testing their homepage, their product pages, they're always testing some element, whether it's new images, videos, copy, length, things like that. So don't be afraid to dive in and don't put it on the back burner. Don't think that this isn't really all that important or that you really just need to be focusing on the ads. All that is really important, but like we talked about earlier, you can be reaching all the right people with all the right ads, but if you're not sending them to a page that is likely to convert them, it's not going to matter that much in the end. So
true. Thank you, gentlemen. Awesome stuff. Much appreciated. And hey, we would like to hear from you. If you got a couple minutes, we'd love that review on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts, and or shoot us a note, man. It would make our day to see a note from our amazing listeners. And so with that, until next time, thank you for listening. At OMG Commerce, we accelerate growth for some of the most loved brands in e-commerce, like Boom, Native, True Earth, Overtone, and dozens more. If your Google and YouTube ad performance isn't where it should be, if you're struggling with Performance Max, or if you're not scaling like you'd like on Amazon, then we have two ways to help. One, we have amazing resources that are free for the taking, like our top YouTube ads guide with lots of examples, our PMax checklist, or our Amazon DSP roadmap, plus many more. Or hit us up for a free strategy session. So go on over to omgcommerce.com and click on Let's Talk to request that free strategy session, or click on Resources and Guides and pick the guide that's right for you. And now back to the show.